You said you were doing sisterhood
shows. But at the time I met with Dr. Prehoff before we were married to discuss this business of, you know, he said to me, we're not looking for you. You know, we don't need you. I said, well, you may not need me, but you're probably going to get me anyway. You know? But we really became, I don't say good friends, I didn't pretend to have ever been, but we were perhaps better than passing acquaintances. And my father-in-law, aside from Dr. Prehoff, was usually the only man in the audience at the temple shows. But I've had a good time over the years with the shows for the various organizations. I've done a lot of shows for council, and we did some really wonderful ones. There was one called My Affair Lady.
My Affair?
Which was My Affair Lady, yes. And Addie Sachs was the director at the time, and it was held at Carnegie Music Hall. It was a very big event. It was fun. I played Liza. I guess you guessed that. And we did some big fashion shows for council. We did them in a musical comedy vein. I remember sitting up nights sewing angel costumes, and I can't remember even why that was done or why we did that, but it was with clothes from council shop. And then we did another big musical at the William Penn that I was busy sewing sequins on blue jeans because there was no curtains, so the stage hands. I can't remember who all they were. I remember Barbara Rathoff being one of them. Wore wonderful pink shirts and blue jeans with sequin trim. And then we did a lot. I did a lot of shows for UJF, and there was a lot of action going on years ago.
Did you live in this house?
No. When we married, my mother had bought a duplex in. She moved into Pittsburgh not too long after my father died, to Alder Court, which is a co-op in sort of this end of town. Well, I guess Shadyside. And she had bought a duplex in Highland Park. And when we were first married, we moved into that duplex with another couple, young couple, Ken and Kathy Carden. Ken was just back from service, and they had a little boy, Russi. So the two couples lived very, very happily together in that duplex. And then my daughter was born, and it was getting crowded, so we looked for a house and found one on Wilkins Avenue near Dallas that we could afford and that had the space we wanted. And we moved in there and lived there until we bought this house 22 years ago, and we had no intention of buying a house at the time. And I had gone out on a Sunday morning to a couple of flea markets, and I couldn't find either one, or they were both closed, and came home. I was reading the real estate ads, which I did every Sunday, and just because I enjoy reading them. And I'd seen this house in the paper, and it said restored Victorian with 7-room apartment. And I couldn't imagine. I said to an open house. I said to my husband, let's go take a look. He said, what for? I said, just, you know, let's just look. And I walked in and fell in love with the house. And so we bought it. And we do have an apartment that we rent in it. And so it's been a wonderful house to live in. And it's been a good investment as far as, it's a wonderful house.
How many rooms do you have by the that you live in?
That we live in, it's almost divided vertically. We have, in addition to this family room, there's a full bath here, and then we have 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and a dressing room upstairs. And the apartment has, the old second floor of this house is, we have our bedroom areas in half of that. The other half is the apartment, living room, dining room, kitchen, and powder room. And then the apartment has the entire third floor of the old house, which is 4 bedrooms, and 2 very small and 2 front and back that are large. So people who have rented from us enjoy it because they each have a personal bedroom and then a personal den. So we've had wonderful tenants. The one girl who's living here now, though, just moved out her lease is not up until the 1st of July, and she was living here with another girl. They both worked for McKinsey and Company, but she got a job with Steven Spielberg's company, DreamWorks.
Oh.
So they wanted her in a hurry. So she flew out last Saturday and started her job.
Were you her mentor?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I thought I would ask you, I'm not so sure if you're really, how were you able to celebrate the various holidays?
Oh.
On one hand, Christmas, on the other hand.
Oh, Bess, we celebrate them all. As a matter of fact, we mentioned that to Dr. Priehoff in the first meeting, if you can imagine. And he said, call it a Hanukkah bush. So we've always had a Christmas tree. And my mother's birthday was Christmas Day, too. So we've always celebrated Christmas and all the Jewish holidays. And we don't celebrate Easter, but the important one, Christmas was always very important to me growing up. And I have to say, if my husband and I have had any arguments, and we have, as is normal, we've never had a conflict over religion. There's never been a one. It's just never happened. So.
And your children, have they maintained the Jewish religion, or have they chose other religions?
My son married a girl who is not Jewish, but he still comes for all the holidays and still and fasts on Yom Kippur. He's the only one of my children who does. But the other two are, still maintain the religion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you started to talk about, I guess I interrupted you, but you started to talk about your involvement with Mr. Rogers,
mm-hmm.
After the Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I gather that you, that almost came out of your meeting him at the Playhouse.
No, I had known him before. I had met him through our friends, Don and Leslie Brockett. And as a matter of fact, my daughter and I vacationed with the Brocketts on Nantucket. And met Fred then, and it was used to see him on the beach, and the house was right across from the one the Brocketts rented. So we became friends then, and had some wonderful experiences. Got caught out in Fred's boat one day when the motor just stopped, and but that's, as I say, I met him very casually then, and so on. And then I don't know. I can't tell you what it was, and I've never asked him. It's just that he made a character that he had on the show, who was the phone operator, called Miss Polificate, into a real person. She never was before. She was a sound. She was a can. People would say, Miss Polificate, you know, get us. But there was never a voice and never a person. And Fred decided to make her a person. So he called her Audrey Polificate. And then people say to me, where's the name come from? And every name on the show has some meaning for Fred. And Polificate was a name he made up from the children of a very dear friend of his. And one was named Paul, one was named Elizabeth, whom they called Iffy, and one was called Kate, or one is called Kate. So he had the name Polificate from that. And for instance, in the operas that we used to do every 2 years, the one opera where I played an elephant, Joe Negri was an elephant, you know. I've played everything. I've been Donna. We've been monkeys. We've been fish. We've been swans. And in this one, I was an elephant. And, that wasn't the one where. It was another one where. It was the wind opera where I was called Teresa. And I was a bubble seller, and he named that for Teresa Hines. And then he also has a puppet that he had for Senator Hines called H.J. Elephant. And because they were very good friends. So, and Lady Elaine, a puppet on the show, is named for Fred's sister, Lainey. And so everything had a meaning, has a meaning to him. And then he started, my other character was Audrey Cleans Everything, A.C.E. In the real neighborhood, and I had a cleaning business, And that's gone somewhat by the wayside. Shockingly enough, there were so many letters sent in saying it was unseemly for a woman to be cleaning or a... it was really shocking. I was surprised. But it was a wonderful business, and I had a trailer that converted from my living quarters to my business. There was one wall unit that showed all the cleaning supplies, and then a screen came over, and there was a painting, and it turned into a wonderful home, my trailer home. And all the crew people used to tease me about my magical trailer. But that's been most fun, because the people are, I hate to sound so saccharine, but the people are wonderful. And it's been a joy to be connected with a show that's that really engenders so much wonderful praise, and justifiably so, I think. I can't think of anything better to say to children than I like you as you are. You know, there's no one else in the world like you. I like you just the way you are. Because I think children need more reinforcement than they're obviously getting. And it's fun, too, being recognized, you know, in Atlantic City, in New York, in Florida. It, you know, it's nice. It really is.
Do you find that happening often?
Hmm?
The children would recognize
yes,
you?
Yes, and the strange thing is that today, the college kids.
Right.
And then you think, oh, you know. But it's been really a joy working on the show. And there's Don, whom we lost last May, Bob Trowe, who's a remarkable personality, Joe Negri, who's one of the sweetest human beings in the world, along with his wife, Betty Aberlin, who's wonderful to know. It's been good friendships that we've all enjoyed.
Is this the only thing that you're continuing doing now, or are you still...
No, I still do some freelance. I do some freelance commercials, radio, and I haven't done any. The last television one I did was for Triangle Tech, and I haven't been doing a lot of it. I've never been terribly aggressive. I've never been able to figure out if it was a mistake or it was me. I think, and I've tried to equate this with, I can't explain it, but I think with a certain security in your bringing up, in your background, I think it doesn't help you as far as being particularly ambitious or aggressive. That sounds strange, but the most aggressive people I knew and the most ambitious were those, I don't mean neurotic, but, well, they were people really without a particularly secure base. And I think that was part of the searching for it or wanting something that they didn't have.
Do you have an agent?
No.
Never had one?
Never.
That's interesting.
Never had one.
That was my next question.
I'm sorry.
No.
That's all right.
No.
Do you find that your social life involves these professional people that you deal with, or is it?
No. No. It's. I shouldn't say no. The Brocketts have always been terribly close friends. Most of our friends that we see are friends that my husband has had since he was in grade school. And I think sometimes that's peculiar to Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburghers don't leave.
That's right.
They don't leave.
Actually, I'm a native Pittsburgher, and that's exactly right. And people tell me who are recent, who moved to Pittsburgh, Pittsburghers are a brand of their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My husband's closest friends, Falk Arnheim, that he went through school with, Bernie Horn, I don't know if you know, Lester Hamburg was a very close friend, Irv Solo, so that those are, plus friends that Gene and John Wolfe we've been close to for years, and now Lee and John. When Gene died, a few years later, John met Lee, and we've become very, very good friends. And so I see people that we don't see together, and but Bert sees people that we do see together. And, you know, there's some working acquaintances I have that I see. So it's been an interesting, it's been a very happy life, I have to say, because I feel like I've had the best of both worlds. You know, I've had enough work to keep me busy and doing what I love to do, and I've had a wonderful home life, and really, this sounds so saccharine, but wonderful children. My son is a dentist who gave us many bad moments with his car racing and his airplane flying. But he's semi-settled down now. He has two little girls that are adorable. And as I say, I can't say he's completely settled down, but, and he's a fabulous dentist. He's really an artist with his dentistry.
Is he here in Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm. He practices, he lives in Claysville, which is so funny, which is where my grandparents were born. And he went to the Claysville Cemetery and walked right to the graves of my grandfather's two brothers who died as infants, I think one in 1853 maybe, or 1847. And but he found the graves immediately. It was, you know, sort of one of those strange things. And then they found an old map with the Botkin farm mapped out, and the McKee farm, who was my grandmother, Sarah Jane McKee, who was called Jenny. We've always loved that name too, Jenny Jane McKee. And she was also a bright, talented woman.
And how about your daughters?
Holly,
are they married?
My older daughter is married, lives across the street from me.
And that's Holly?
Holly Dobkin. She's married to Ed Dobkin, and she's always worked in the design field, and she taught art at Carlo. And she's she went to Carnegie Mellon Drama School also, and didn't finish. We have a lot of dropouts. Fortunately, the men didn't. And then she's done a lot of work. Most recent job, or her present job, is at the New History Center. She's going to have the shop, and forget what her title is, but she's been doing all the buying for the new shop and will be in charge of it. And before that, she had the shop at Clayton. And so she's... it's
very talented.
Yeah, she is. Mm-hmm. And my younger daughter, writes, who lives here with us. And
what's her name?
Adair, A-D-A-I-R. She's
okay.
Beautiful, kind, sensitive, extremely bright person who's also a wonderful artist. She does painted wood pieces, and she's a writer. Not sold yet, but still hopeful. I don't doubt that she will, because she's really a wonderful writer. And that's my family.
It sounds wonderful.
She sounds very interesting. Like really a great family.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have four granddaughters.
I love
didn't mention those. Yes.
I see. You must tell us about them.
And we just had a wedding. My oldest granddaughter. We almost have two different families. We have Maggie Dobkin, who's 25 and just married in September, and she's a graphic artist. She went to Carnegie Mellon also, and worked at Carnegie Mellon then until she was married, and is now doing freelance work is living in Connecticut. And my the next one is Anna Dobkin, who attends Boston University. She's a junior this year, and is a wonderful creative cook, and a lot of fun. Both girls are nice girls.
None of them became actresses.
No. Anna's in filmmaking, and that's her major right at the moment. But you know, you never know what they'll go into.
But that's a long field, you know. Mm-hmm. It can lead to something.
And then we have two younger ones, Ashley and Zara, Z-A-R-A, Roth, who are 6 and 5. Or Zara will be 5 this month, 26th. We're going to celebrate her birthday when my husband has his. So, having a little party for him for the two of them on the 16th, which is my husband's birthday. And,
I think it's almost, just about...
Let me see how my tape looks. Will you tell us your birth date?
Yes, reluctantly.
Yeah.
This is buried in the archives, I assume.
Oh, be fine.
It's January 25th, 23.
Okay. And your first husband's name was Gil. What was his last name?
Gilbert Woolsey Stratton, III.
Gilbert? Woolsey?
Mm-hmm.
Stratton?
Uh-huh. Okay. And my husband, my present husband, adopted him.
Did adopted the son.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Gilbert was your husband?
Uh-huh.
And your son's name is also Gilbert?
Yes.
Okay.
This is not the third. This is Junior.
This is Junior. So your
Gil's
son
Gil's name
is
was the third. Okay. And then when my husband adopted him, his name was changed to Gilbert Robert Roth. And you know, you can't do that without father's permission, and he gave it without a problem, since he had never really been with him, or only saw him once, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Now, I want to know, first of all, I just saw a painting. You also paint?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You do write. I saw the flower.
Oh, the flower one. The other one is mine, too. That's the cut at Carnegie Mellon.
I didn't notice. I'll notice it on the map. So, have you ever exhibited and sold?
No. I sell jackets that I paint.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you are a multi.
It's not a booming business because it's really word of mouth because I haven't been
very. Because you have no agent. That's your
I've been very aggressive about that. Although Barbara Cloud did a full page in the roto section, in color that was wonderful one time. And after that, I got quite busy. And then I was painting them for a shop on Sanibel Island. And it's like anything else, Gabby. Once you have to do a million of one thing, or somebody said to me, why don't you do, you know, a few dozen of that? And then it's like, if you have to do more than one of something, because I never do two jackets alike either. That's, you know, you get so bored with doing, I love painting. I can really lose myself in it. That and reading. I'm a voracious reader. And, we sent to Edward Hamilton, which is the off-price book place for books. Did you ever? Oh, it's wonderful. And but I paint a lot.
Still, you still paint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just did New Balances for the living room and dining room, and I love it.
Want to tell us a little bit about your house? Obviously, your signature's all over.
Well, I've been doing flea markets and antiquing for years. That's another love. Somebody said to me, what's your perfect day? And you know what my perfect day is? Breakfast out, a flea market, and lunch out.
Sounds pretty good.
I'm not sure I could work dinner in at the same time, but there's no better feeling in the world than a flea market or an antique shop where you make some find that you're so pleased with.
But you have an eye.
Well, it's just, it's a joy. It's an absolute joy. And it's a joy, too, for particular people. Don Brockett was also one of the greatest antiquers I've ever known. Mm-hmm. Oh, some of my better things that are hanging around are from Don. So that we tried every Christmas, you know, to find that, you know, that perfect gift that wasn't the kind you go into a store and buy. And so I start Christmas shopping 1st of January and flea market and antique and try to find you know, those wonderful gifts. It's such a joy, really. My daughter's just got me that for, it's an old magazine rack. We have it braced on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And, but that was my Christmas gift.
It's just, there's just so many beautiful things here. It's going to take a tour.
Yeah, we have to describe the room where they'll be interviewed. How are we going to do it?
It's the everything room.
I want to know more about Mr. Rogers. The taping is done
here, in Pittsburgh. WQED.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In the big studio.
Uh-huh.
Studio A there.
And I understand, is it all done in one time period? No?
Yes, yes.
Well,
all the neighborhood of make-believe, yeah. That whole set is set up. And those shows are done first with the tree and Daniel's clock and the castle. And all those shows in the neighborhood of make-believe are done first. And we used to tape 9 months of the year. We don't do that anymore because they're not. We used to do 65 new shows every year, 13 weeks. But we don't anymore. Fred actually quit the show a few years ago, decided he wasn't going to do it anymore, and he was doing a show called Old Friends, New Friends that was not as successful as it should have been, whether it was not promoted properly, I don't know, because it was an interesting show. And then I think he couldn't live without Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, so we went back to taping. But we've never gotten back to the 9 months a year. And when I say 9 months, not everybody worked every day. It was you'd get a monthly schedule, or get it would be 2 or 3 days this month, 5 or 6 days another month. You know, it was a perfect job.
How long did it take to tape one show?
Well, let me say now, to do 5 new shows, it's 2 weeks. And that's a week in the neighborhood of make-believe and a week in the real neighborhood where Fred does all his entries and exits. And so it's actually 2 weeks for every 1 week. It works out too.
Is the set permanent?
No, they
strike it.
Never was permanent. They always strike it, and it used to be stored at WQED in the big room where they had did all the carpentry shop and so on. But WQED was all changed and modernized and updated and offices put in. So now they truck it to a storage place in Lawrenceville.
And then bring it back?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of wear and tear on the, and it's constant updating.
What else does he do besides his show? I know he does a lot of...
Fred does a lot of writing.
He does writing?
Yeah. Well, he writes all the shows.
And books. Also.
And books, yes. They're constantly.
Right. And I think I read in your CV that you are in book or tape.
No, we're... we have musical tapes that go out.
Okay.
And we used to be in Saudi Arabia. The American oil companies bought the shows for the children, as I understand, of the American workers. And then we were supposedly bootlegged in China. And then last year, I got a lovely residual check because China bought some of the shows. I really don't remember how many. And the Philippines bought, and I can't remember where else in the East we were bought. But it's he's an enormously creative person, and he's a genius with music. He writes all the music for the show.
Does he though?
Yeah, and then we have another genius, Johnny Costa, who's brilliant. He really is. And Joe Negri on the show, who's a brilliant guitarist. So
how many characters are there on the show? How many people are in the show as far as...
Regular characters,
regular
Beth.
Characters.
There are...
that's all right.
I have a picture right here.
Okay. Now, I noticed from your CV that you and Don Brockett did a two-person.
Well, actually, it was three-person. Barbara Clee I don't know if you know Jesse Goldberg. Barbara Cleve was one of the most talented young women. She was a brilliant pianist and a wonderful voice and charming. And she started to work for Don, I think, when she was about 15. And she was at Carnegie Mellon at the time, or perhaps hadn't started, I don't remember, when Don made a proposal to Israel Bonds and talked to me about doing Golga in a very shortened half hour. It was a 30-35 minute version of Fiddler on the Roof. And Barbie played, and also played one of the daughters. And it was very well received everywhere. We traveled in the tri-state area. And every other weekend, I think we did that show. We had a lot of laughs, a lot of fun. We did it in homes. Best. We did it in temples. We did it any place that the Israel Bonds had set up.
So it was a fundraiser. I mean, it was part of
it. Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yes. And but we really, it was a very, very enjoyable time. And Barbie then finished at Carnegie Mellon, went on to New York, and died recently, which was a great tragedy. Young woman, she was... Barbie.